In Sunday school, as in church, in the main service, and in everything else we do, our goal is to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is the gospel in a nutshell. When Jesus came, he came proclaiming that the kingdom of God is at hand, and to enter it, people need to repent and believe, and in order for them to enter it, for us to enter it, he died to take the punishment we deserve and rose again from the dead to prove that that sacrifice had been accepted. But how valuable is it to know that Jesus Christ is Lord? What does it mean to be a part of the kingdom of God? For those of us that have been Christians for a while, and that's some Sunday school teachers, a number of the rest of us, actually the whole idea of knowing Jesus as Lord is just so normal as to be almost something that we stop worrying about. But Jesus, in Matthew chapter 13 and elsewhere, he paints a number of pictures describing what it means to be a part of that kingdom of God and describing what it means to know Jesus as Lord. And boys and girls and all the rest of us, we need to see how valuable it is to know that truth that Jesus is Lord. And he gives us a number of pictures, and one of them is here in Matthew chapter 13. I wonder if you would just read with me Matthew chapter 13 and from verse 44, and then we'll pick up the story and think it through a bit harder. The kingdom of heaven, says Jesus, is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy he went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. There's two stories there that tell us how valuable the kingdom of God is. And I'd like to retell one of them with some illustrations that I've got permission to use from the publisher. I've got to tell you, I did think this morning about going and taking a photograph of one of our, there's a couple of farmers with us, and I thought of taking a photograph of one of their fields, and then bringing a chest out here, saying there was a treasure in it, and seeing if I could negotiate a price on the field. But I figured that that might not work, would it, Richard? So, no, I didn't think so. So I thought it'd be much easier to look at the second story and the merchant with the pearl. So, let's have the first picture. That man is a merchant. Anyone know what a merchant is? Come on, some of the kids, some of the grown-ups, tell me what a merchant is. No, really? A merchant. Go on, Joel. He buys and sells things. That's exactly right. A merchant, this man is a merchant. And he's a man who buys and sells things. That's what he does. And he's really, really good at buying and selling things. And actually, so good is he that he is actually very rich. And you can tell that... Oh, no, hang on, back one. Sorry, I haven't told about his clothes yet. Sorry, too fast. He's very rich. You can tell that... I mean, look, he's got a fur coat on. Only very rich people have fur coats, I think. And not just that, he likes to wear a hat with a feather sticking out of it. This guy is very rich and very sorted out, I tell you. And you can tell that he's rich because of the kind of house that he lives in. He lives in an absolutely enormous house. Look how many floors it's got. Look at the garden on the roof. He's got a fountain in the front and these trees in pots. And so rich is he that he's even got a garden on the roof. Anybody fancy having a garden on the roof? You do? Anybody got a garden on the roof? No, of course not. Because imagine what it would be like to mow the lawn and all that kind of... Oh, I guess he's so rich he gets somebody to do that. In fact, in the house, if you look inside, he's got loads and loads of furniture. That's just one corner of one room. Everything you could possibly want if you were to look properly and, of course, bring it up to date a bit. There'd be TVs and stereos and all sorts. He's got everything you could possibly want and more. In fact, if you go to where he eats in the house, he's got four freezers full of food and three fridges just for fizzy drinks. And if you look at him, you can kind of tell. This guy is so rich and so successful at what he does that he has everything you could possibly want. And actually, when it comes to money, he doesn't keep his money in a bank. Oh, no. No, he's got so much money under his mattress
more than you could possibly count. Much, much more.
This guy has everything you could possibly want. Or he thinks he has everything that anybody could possibly want. Until one day he sees something. It is the most amazing and precious pearl that anyone could ever see. Now, I didn't know pearls came that big myself. But apparently they do. At least Jesus says that there's a very precious pearl involved in this story. So I believe him. And when our merchant saw that pearl in the shop window, he was completely bamboozled. He was walking past and he saw it. And suddenly he realized that pearl was the most amazing, precious, special thing he had ever seen. And he wanted it desperately, desperately. So he stopped in his track, forgot where he was going, walked into the shop, and he said to the shopkeeper, "How much, that pearl in the window, that huge one in the box, how much is that pearl?" And the man with a very straight face, as you can see he has, said, "That pearl is £1 million. £1 million. Well, he tried to negotiate, but there was no way to negotiate. He said, "Won't you just give it to me for, you know, maybe we could come to..." No, it's £1 million. Well, the merchant realized that he had to have that pearl. It was worth more than anything else. So he rushed home, and he rushed home with a plan. And the plan was that he would raise £1 million, but not by borrowing it. No, no. He would raise £1 million by selling things. So he put up a for sale notice on his house. He got the umbrella from the top of his garden, and he brought that down, and he sold that too. He dug up the fish pond and the fish, and he sold everything, all his furniture, all his freezers full of food, presumably a van came for that, all his fridges with fizzy drinks, he put a stall out, he sold everything, absolutely everything, including, if you go on to the next slide, his clothes. The fur hat, the fur coat was so valuable that he sold that and he raised a couple of thousand quid just by selling that. I have to say that he hung on to the hat with the feather, because it was a special hat and, you know, there's the pearl and the special hat, and he thought he would have everything he wanted. When finally he had collected all of his money and dug it out from under his mattress, he borrowed a barrow, piled in the money, and took the barrow to the shop, ready to present it to the man and walk away with the pearl. When he reached the shop, there was a crisis. And the crisis was this. He had, when he reached the shop, 999,994 pounds. Now, boys and girls, how much was the pearl? Somebody tell me. Somebody small, tell me. Luke, how much was the pearl? £1 million. Now, think, he's got 999,994 pounds. How much money is he short? £6. Brilliant. He is £6 short. If you go back to the previous slide for a second, I always think when I see this, oh, does it show? What if one of those fivers had fallen out? Maybe that's where the £6 went. But no, go back to the slide, please. He's £6 short. What's he going to do? Do you think the shopkeeper's going to give him the pearl at £6 short with all that money? "I'll tell you what," says the shopkeeper, "sell me your hat for £6. It's the pearl, the barrow load of money, and the hat." Is he going to get the pearl or not? Is it worth more than anything else? What does Jesus say in his story? "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." "Don't worry," said the merchant, "you can have the hat." "Hooray," he says, "I've got the pearl." And he gave everything, and wearing nothing but a shirt, goes out of the shop holding the pearl. Because the merchant saw that the pearl that he had was worth more than anything else. Now then, I want you to think. Jesus said that the kingdom of God, go on to the next slide, please. The kingdom of God is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Now, what does that mean? It means that knowing that Jesus is Lord is worth more than anything else you have. And his point is very simple. People think that things are important. They think that their jobs are important, or that their houses or their cars or their families. But Jesus says that knowing him as king is more important than anything else. That's why we go to all the trouble of Sunday school. That's why we go through the motions of church. That's why we read the Bible and value it so highly. One of the things I nearly did this morning was bring a treasure chest with the idea of trying to buy a field from Richard. Bring a treasure chest and put a Bible in the treasure chest and say, this has got the most valuable thing in it. Can anyone guess what it is? And open the treasure chest and pull out a Bible. That would have been just as valid because it contains the message that Jesus is Lord. That's why he came and lived and died for us so that we can know him as Lord. Boys and girls, but everyone else. I wonder whether you think of the message of the kingdom of God, of knowing Jesus as Lord, is worth more than anything else. If you were to make a list of everything you have and everything you know and put it on some scales on one side, and put knowing Jesus as Lord on the other side, which would be the heavier? Your stuff would be more important, or knowing Jesus as Lord would be more important? Jesus says that knowing him as Lord is the most important thing we can ever do, which is why in some parts of the world, when they're given a choice of saying, I love Jesus as Lord, or I lose my job, they choose Jesus. Or I love Jesus as Lord and I lose my family, they choose. Or I love Jesus as Lord and I lose my life. Sadly, in some parts of the world, that's the choice. They choose Jesus. Because knowing him as Lord is worth more than anything else. Just as we close, I wonder if I can ask you to turn back to Psalm 145 that Steve read for us a few moments ago. Page 443. This is a psalm written, a song written by great King David, of David and Goliath fame. And he's singing a song to God. Let me just go through it quickly. And David says, I will exalt you, my God, the king. Bear in mind, David's king. And I'm going to praise your name forever and ever. Every day I'm going to praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Why? Well, because great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation, that mums and dads, are going to commend your works to another, tell their kids. And those kids, when they grow up, will tell their kids. And those kids, when they grow up, will tell their kids. And they're going to tell of God's mighty acts. And they're going to speak of the splendor of your majesty. And they're going to meditate, think about all your wonderful works. They will tell of all the awesome power of your works and will proclaim your deeds. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Verse 13. The Lord is faithful to all his promises, loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds those who fall down, who fall, and lifts all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Listen, says the psalmist. Knowing Jesus as Lord is absolutely fantastic. And those who don't are missing out, and they're rebels who will one day be rejected. Do you think knowing him as God
is like a precious pearl that's worth more than anything else? Or are there lots of other things in your life that seem to dominate and take over? Well, they shouldn't. It's worth more than anything else.